Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7. What Prahlad learned in the womb, text number 26. Abis,
tri,
varnai,
paryastair,
buddhibedai, kriyodbhavai, swarupam, atmano, buddhyet, gandhair, vayum, ivanvayat. Abis, tri, varnai, paryastair, buddhibedai kriyodbhavai swarupam atmano buddhyed gandhai vayum ivanvayat abhistrivanai paryastair buddhibedai kriyodbhavai swarupam atmano buddhyed Gandhyai Vayam Aitvanvayat. Abhi, by these. Trivanai, Varnai, composed of the three modes of nature. Paryastai, completely rejected, due to not touching the living force. Buddhi, of intelligence. Vedai, the differentiations. Kriya Udbhavai, produced from different activities. Surupam, the constitutional position. Atmana, of the self. Buddhyat, one should understand. Gandhai, by the aromas. Vayam, the air. Iva, exactly like. Anvayat, from close connection. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As one can understand the presence of air by the aromas it carries, so, under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can understand the living soul by these three divisions of intelligence. These three divisions, however, are not the soul. They are constituted of the three modes and are born of activities. As already explained, there are three states to our existence, namely wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. In all three states, we have different experiences. Thus, the soul is the observer of these three states. Actually, the activities of the body are not the activities of the soul. The soul is different from the body, just as aromas are distinct from the material vehicle in which they are carried. The soul is unattached to material activities. This analysis can be considered by a person who is fully under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. This is confirmed by the Vedic injunction. Yasmin vigyate sarvam eva vigyatam bhavati. If one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can automatically understand everything else. Because of not taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, even great scholars, scientists, philosophers, and religionists are always bewildered. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. 10.2.32 Yen ye ravindaksha vimukta maninas twayasta bhavat avishuddha buddhaya. Even though when they artificially think himself liberated from material contamination, if he has not taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, his intelligence is polluted. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 3.42 Indriyani paranyahur indriyebhyak param manak manasastu para buddhir Yo Bude Paratastu Saha. Above the senses is the mind, above the mind is the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the soul. Ultimately, when one's intelligence becomes clear, through devotional service, one is situated in Buddha Yoga, This is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. When devotional service develops and one's intelligence becomes clear, one can use his intelligence to return home, back to Godhead. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishaka Ki Jai. Lord Jagannath Lord Valadeva Srimati Subhadra Devi Ki Jai. Shri Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai. Abhistrivanai Paryastai Buddhi Vedai Kriyod Bhavai Sarupam Atmano Buddhyad Vandair Vayam Ivan Vayat. As one can understand the presence of the air by the aromas it carries, so under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can understand the living soul by these three divisions of intelligence. These three divisions, however, are not the soul. They are constituted of the three modes and are born of activities. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirisesa Shunivadi Paskatya De Siddharna. There is a similar verse in the Bhagavad Gita. In the 15th chapter, Lord Krishna says, Shariram Ya Avapnoti Yatschap Yukramati Shraha Grihi Vaitani Samyati Vayor Ganda Ivashaya. That the living entity, he carries his different conceptions of life from one body to the other, just like the air carries aroma. So the living entity thus quits one kind of body and again takes another one. And in the 13th chapter, Krishna has said, Kshetra Gyam Chapimam Vidhi Sarva Kshetra Shubharata. That the field of activity, the living entity, is this body. So here the body is explained as more or less three different divisions. It can be explained in many ways, but here it explained the field of activity is explained in terms of consciousness, namely waking, sleep, and deep sleep. So this is our experience, that we are conscious of this body when we're awake. We're conscious of the more subtle mind when we're asleep. And we're unconscious at the state of deep sleep. And these divisions are divided into three modes, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. For instance, when we're awake, we may be not very conscious. We may see things in a distorted way. We may be very lazy. Our activities or an experience may be according to, as the Bhagavad Gita describes, as madness, indolence, and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. So this is the mode of ignorance. In the 17th and the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives symptoms for determination in the different modes of nature, for knowledge in the different modes of nature, for intelligence in the different modes of nature, different types of charity and happiness, etc., in the different modes of nature. Therefore, we can understand whether we're in goodness or passion and ignorance by the symptoms. Just like, for instance, if you take a guidebook and you wind up in a certain place, you can judge whether or not you're in Hawaii or in Yugoslavia or in the North Pole by the symptoms. According to the book, if you're in snow over your head, you're probably in the North Pole rather than Hawaii. Of course, this is Kali Yuga, so you never know. Similarly, we can understand in which mode we're situated according to the symptoms. As explained here, although the living entity has different fields of experience, namely waking, sleep, and deep sleep, and varieties of experiences according to the modes of nature he's acquired, the living entity is different, just like aroma is different from the air. Vayor ganda ivashya. Aroma may be of many varieties, but the air is one. So, So the living entity may be of many varieties, many as different individuals, and he's being carried by different material conceptions. He has different material experiences. But the living entity is always different from these experiences. Therefore, according to one's intelligence, because the intelligence may be under different coverings, it may be clear or contaminated. Maharishi Shavdeva said, Paravastavat Abodajato, that as long as the living entity is working with contaminated conception of life, with a misconception of life, he said to be paravas, or defeated. Paravastavat Abodajato, by the principal mode of nature, namely ignorance. This mode of nature, when it covers our intelligence, we identify ourselves with this body. And who amongst us can say that we never identify ourselves with our body? Who amongst us can say that sometimes we don't identify ourselves with our body? Due to the predominance of ignorance, although we are conscious souls of a completely different nature and identity than this mundane identity and relationship with this body, but still, due to ignorance, we falsely identify ourselves with this body. So this is called paravas. We're defeated. From the very beginning, we've lost the race. As soon as one thinks, I am this body, whatever he does is a defeat. Because we have just like, for instance, if all day long you were feeding your shirt, who does that? Say you had your shirt and you were stuffing food into it all day long. And you were thinking, well, it's such nice food, I wonder why I still feel hungry. So similarly, if we are all day long taking care of this body, neglecting the soul, the real self, and we don't feel satisfied, it's because we're not feeding the soul. Or another example that's usually given is if you're putting money in the bank, but it's in the wrong account. So after some time, you may think, oh, I'm rich, I put so much money in the bank, now I'm going to make a withdrawal. And you go to the bank and you say, my dearest sir, I'd like to take out 10,000 francs. And they say, well, I'm sorry, sir, your bank account is zero. But I've been putting money into it for 25 years, everything I've earned. Sorry, sir, I think you put the money in the wrong account. So similarly, everyone is working sincerely for some goal. But if the goal is not self-realization, then he's putting his efforts in the wrong account. And when he goes to make a withdrawal, he'll find out he has nothing in the account. Or the account is negative. So similarly, one should know, paravas tavat abodajato, that as long as we're not acting for our self-realization, as long as we're not understanding our real nature, paravas tavat abodajato, we're defeated by ignorance, tricked by maya. Yavanna na jignasita atma tatvam. That human life is meant for jignasita, or self-inquiring to the nature of reality, of the self and the super-self, the nature of this body. Yavana jignasita atma tatvam. So, one should know about the truth about the self. Most people, as it says by Parikshit Maharaj, Shrotavyadishu rajandra shrinam shanti sahasra shaha apashyatam atma tatvam griheshu griha merina. Most people are blind to the knowledge of atma tatva. They have no interest. They're simply interested in gramya katha, village talk. Who got what child? Who got sick yesterday? Who got fired from his job? Who got killed? Where's the newest war? How's the stock market? This is all gramya katha. Ahara nidra maituni bhavam cha. Eating, sleeping, sex life, and defending. And it is called griheshu. Griha means house. So the first house everyone lives in is this body. So the soul, he's living in a body. His conception of life, in material life, is that if I have a nice body, nice family, nice reputation, nice occupation, then I'll expand it more and more and become happier and happier. But no matter how much one expands, this household conception of life, namely this bodily conception of life, then it always remains limited. It never reaches up to the spiritual platform. Therefore, one will always remain dissatisfied. Therefore, Maharaj Rishabhdev said, Yavan nejignasita atmatavan, Yavan kriyastavad idamnovai karmatmaka yena sharira vandaha. That as long as one is acting in this material conception of life, his consciousness is polluted, is colored by fruit of mentality, by this desire, I must enjoy this body, I must enjoy my mind, I must enjoy a good night's sleep, I must enjoy somehow or another. This covers the consciousness, and as long as the consciousness is covered, consciousness is unclear. Right, therefore, we can't perceive reality, we simply perceive according to the coverings that we've acquired, according to the desires we've accepted. And if the consciousness is unclear, the activities will be fruitive, and one will get another body to suffer again and again in material existence. So, those who are thinking that this body is is not so bad, I'm having a good time, they're disqualified for inquiry about the absolute truth. Because if one is thinking, oh, this is nice and comfortable, and I get enough to eat, there's a nice place to sleep, what more can anyone ask for? What more can one desire? If one is thinking like that, then there's no need to inquire about reality in terms of spiritual reality if one is contented with material sense gratification. But for those who are not, those who are Brahma Jignasya, those who are inquisitive about the Absolute Truth, therefore one has to learn to train his intelligence to see things, whether one's awake, whether one's asleep, or whether one's in deep sleep, to train to see things in Krishna consciousness. Obviously, most of our training right now does not go on in deep sleep. Most of our training cannot go on in sleeping. So when one is awake, one has to learn to train his intelligence. One has to learn how to make his intelligence Krishna conscious. So one will not be fooled by the lower modes of material nature, and one can serve Krishna in devotional service. Because by connecting with Krishna, it is said, Gyanena tutad agyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham adityavaj jnanam prakashyati tatparam. By seeing Krishna, by understanding Krishna factually, by seeing in the beginning how Krishna is the proprietor of everything, how everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure, how Krishna is everyone's friend, by seeing these things, one can understand reality. One can understand clearly how we are entangled, how by our ignorance, we are misidentifying ourselves with this body, misidentifying ourselves with the subtle mind, and therefore allowing ourselves to be pushed by the modes of material nature from one type of existence in the material world to the next. But if we identify ourselves with the spiritual nature, if with determination we try to use our intelligence to make spiritual progress according to authorized directions, then the result is that gradually we become conscious of Krishna and unconscious of material conceptions of life. So, this is something, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises us to, especially, we use our intelligence by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by chanting the holy names of Krishna, by worshipping the deity, by living in a holy place, such as Mathura or Vrindavan, and by engaging in service to the devotees. In this way, one can purify his intelligence. These are the most potent ways of connecting ourselves with Krishna and Krishna consciousness, and therefore go beyond these three limited states of existence namely wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep, and come to the spiritual platform of existence where there's real life, real happiness, eternal. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. You mean if all our motives are all wrong? If all of them are wrong, you mean we're here just for all the wrong reasons?
Yeah, of course.
We're just putting all our desires into the wrong account. We only came to the movement because we heard that there's good food and there's good music. But generally we're mixed. It's called Mishra, Karma, Mishra Gyan, Bhakti. Generally our motives are mixed. But we sometimes find that people actually don't put anything in the right account. They don't last very long in our society. Prabhupada said people come with a hidden motive, usually for economic development or to end their distress. And when these things are done, when they actually feel a little bit more comfortable, they get some money, they get some idea how to sell paintings or something, how to sell some paraphernalia, then they leave, start their own business. And maybe on Janmasthami they send a happy Janmasthami letter to Krishna. And think themselves to be advanced devotees. Screaming in terror. No, help! Get me out of this place. I didn't do it. I wasn't killed. I've been framed. Consciousness?
Yeah.
To some consciousness. Yeah. If you're not conscious, how are you asking questions? Who do you think is conscious? What's that?
I have like consciousness of my material body that I'm here and there.
Yeah, or that's consciousness. If we take a little razor blade and we cut your finger, are you going to be aware of it?
Yeah, of course.
So that means that's consciousness. That's your experience. Of the soul? We have enough intelligence, we're a little conscious of the soul. Not very conscious of the soul in conditioned life, but we can become a little conscious. And by progress, we can become more and more conscious. But at the beginning, we're hardly conscious of ourselves. We're conscious of everything else besides ourselves. No, you can be in deep sleep and be in Krishna consciousness still. But generally, most people are in ignorance. Are you? Do you remember?
No, I am not aware.
Most people aren't. Well, I think you probably got it wrong. I don't think Prabhupada is translating the Bhagavatam in his deep sleep. He's preparing the class. Does that make any sense to you? How does anyone know Prabhupada was in deep sleep preparing class? Does that make any sense to you? Prabhupada may be able to do it, but your ability to anyone's ability to perceive someone in deep sleep preparing class, who has that ability to perceive that? But the point that you're asking is that yes, it is possible to be fully Krishna conscious even when you're in deep sleep. The body is in deep sleep. If one becomes perfectly Krishna conscious 24 hours a day, he can remain on the transcendental platform, no matter what the state of his material body and mind is. But the symptom will not be is that, you know, prove it to me. All right, I'll go to sleep and I'll dictate a class to you. That you'll have to perceive for yourself. No one else will be able to perceive it unless they themselves are also on the transcendental platform. Then you can have a discussion while you're both in deep sleep on the transcendental platform. Anything else? So thank you very much. I hope everyone has a nice marathon. Everyone can assist the book distribution. I mean, we should always think like that, that somehow or another, in some way, I'm assisting the preaching in this movement, and the final, not the final, but at least a good step that people take in the right direction is they get Prabhupada's books, because it doesn't end there. It's not that, you know, excuse me, sir, do you have a book? Yes, well, that's good. What's in the book? Well, anyhow, you have the book, that's good enough. You don't really have to read it or practice it. Just as long as you have it, you've been saved. No, it's a little bit more than that. We also want people to read the books and practice the books, but what's in the books. But at least if people have a book, then it's possible that they can begin the process of devotional service. Otherwise, it's very doubtful that anyone will take Krishna consciousness very seriously. But if people hear the philosophy in the book, then it's very likely, if they're intelligent enough and sincere enough, that they'll take Krishna consciousness seriously enough to try and practice it themselves. So that's our mission, is to try and give people books and try and help people become inspired to practice what's in the books. What's that?
When you have questions, you can always ring the bell by the devotees. That's why what you can tell the people when
the books. Yeah, sure. In any case, that's why Prabhupada not only wrote books, he established a movement too. So we want, but our movement is meant for, principally for preaching, and the best preaching, Prabhupada pointed out, is to distribute books. So, and by distributing books, we become purified, and then people will take us more seriously. So somehow or another, if we can, now this is the marathon, so if we can assist the devotees who are distributing books to distribute more books, and if we ourselves can distribute some books, that would be very nice. And Prabhupada will be pleased, Krishna will be pleased, and we'll become Krishna conscious. And that's what we're here for anyhow. So, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.